You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City and around the NFL here in a bit. We have a poll up right now. The poll ends in 30 minutes, and I'm very disappointed in all of you. The question was, do you like when the Chiefs play at noon? I thought that many of you were going to be on the same page that I'm on. I love when the Chiefs play at 3:25. I love a good Sunday night football game. Let me watch Red Zone at noon. I might take a little bit of a nap during the Cowboys game. Just something quick from about 4 to 5, you know. I've been eating during the 12 o'clock games. I get me a good little nap. I'm revitalized for the second half of all the 3:25 games. And then the Chiefs play on Sunday Night Football. Or they play at 3:25. I can watch Red Zone. I can watch the rest of the league. And then I can settle in and watch the Chiefs at a nice 3:25 Nance and Romo game. You can't do any of that when they play at noon. Noon's the worst time. Even if you're a tailgater and you're going out there. You got to wake up, Rob, at what, 8, 9 o'clock? You got to be out there at 8, 9 o'clock in order to really get the benefit of the tailgate. You want to be somewhere at 8 o'clock on a Sunday? You guys got to be on my side here. The best time that the Chiefs play is 3:25 on Sundays. I love the fact the Chiefs have gotten good. Rob, you and I come from the era where the Chiefs would get 9 noon games. Oh, it stunk when they played at noon. But now, you know what? They're a good football team. They're getting nationally televised night games. They're on Thursday Night Football to kick off the home slate. They got Monday Night Football, their next home game. They got big Sunday Night Football games next week against the Buccaneers is on Sunday Night Football. Noon games now are the worst. So there's still some time to vote in this poll, and let's get the swing where it needs to be. Do you like when the Chiefs play at noon? 75% of you have voted yes. Only 24% of you have voted no in this. 24.8%. We got to turn this around, Rob. You and I are both on team 3:25. 3:25 is perfect. You can wake up at 9 o'clock, 9:30, get yourself a little bit of a breakfast, head out there around 11 o'clock. Get you a good tailgate in. They play at 3:25. You watch the game. You get home around 7, 7:30, maybe 8 at the latest. You take you a bath. You take you a shower. You go to bed and you start your Monday. Team 3:25 is where it's at.
Big 3:25 guy. Big, big, big. And it's not just the fact that we lose Red Zone for the noon games, which
that's big,
stinks.
Though.
Red Zone's a big deal. I love a good Red Zone day.
Love it.
And it's not even like it to be a sicko league follower. Fantasy football players have to love the Red Zone. Watching just the Chiefs, checking the bottom line, checking your phone, that's no good. Red Zone is where it's at. I hate the noon games for that reason. On top of that, let's say you're going to the game. You said 8, 9 o'clock. The way Arrowhead tailgates, you're there at 6, 7, 8 a.m. for a Chiefs tailgate. You're there through the game. Fight through traffic. We know Arrowhead hadn't figured out traffic since it was constructed. So you don't get home until 5. You basically miss half of the late window, which is the good games. You're up from 7 to 5. Just watch the Chiefs thump someone in the noon slate. That's no good. Team 3:25 because the games are better too.
So if you want to vote on the text line right now, 913-586-7610, what's your favorite time when the Chiefs play? Mine is 325 on Sunday. The next time that we have Clark Hunt on the show, I imagine we'll have him on at some point between now and the end of the season. I'm going to see if he can petition the league to get all the games at 325 on CBS or Fox, because that's what we all want, because that's the best thing for the city of Kansas City. Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day, my man.
The Hits, getting you caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City on your drive home from work, number one.
Well, as always, Hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio repair in Kansas City since 1967. Well, Carrington, the Chiefs do play the Colts on Sunday, and many fans looking past it, they're already excited about the Bucks on Sunday night. The Colts are hapless and what have you. But historically speaking, before Patrick Mahomes, games like this gave Andy Reid fits. The Titans in 14, the Bears in 15, and the New York teams in 17. But Carrington, now that Patrick Mahomes has ridden into town, are the Chiefs impervious to trap game matchups like this with their QB1?
You know what, Rob? Cut the beat. I think Patrick Mahomes allows you a level of peace that you've never been able to experience as a Chief fan. Let's just look at the Andy Reid version of the Chiefs in a pre-Patrick Mahomes world. In 2014, they lost a home game to the Tennessee Titans. That Titans team went on to go 2-14. The following season, they played the Chicago Bears. They lost. The Bears finished the season 6-10. In 2017, if you remember, there was that stretch where they lost to every team in New York State. They lost to Buffalo, the Giants, and the Jets. Well, the Giants that year went 3-13. The Jets went 5-11. There was a time there that I thought they could have potentially went to Patrick Mahomes, but they righted the ship right after that. In years past, this would be a game that I think there would be a portion of the Chiefs fan base that would have some nerves about it. You'd be a little bit uneasy about this game. You maybe couldn't put your finger on it, but you know the unease that I'm talking about. Missouri fans, you know the feeling that I'm talking about. You know Missouri is going to find a way to Mizzou this thing. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. But at some point over the course of the basketball or football season, they will lose a game that they are 100% supposed to win. The Chiefs used to do that same thing every single year before Patrick Mahomes got here. Quite simple, the Chiefs are too good of a team to lose to a team like the Indianapolis Colts. That's not saying that the game won't be competitive. That's not saying that the game couldn't potentially be fun, thrilling, any given Sunday. But the Chiefs, when healthy, have for the most part avoided any given Sunday. This team's not going to have Willie Gay Jr. This team's not going to have Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie's played one game as a pro. If there's one thing this team has, it's experience not playing without Willie Gay Jr. I'm not saying he doesn't help them when he's there, but I think they can manage not having Willie Gay for this game. When this team is healthy, and they're healthy right now, they just don't lose to teams like the Colts. The Colts last week didn't score a single point against Jacksonville. Michael Pittman is a fantastic player. I don't think Michael Pittman is worth 27 points. I don't think he's worth that much. The Chiefs have made a habit of it with Mahomes and keeping bad teams down. And so far this season, the Colts have shown us that they are a bad football team. They have been one of the 5 to 8 worst teams in the league. This is a team that Kansas City beats. When they play the Raiders next week, we'll see what happens. I'm going to assume that I'll have a very similar feeling, that the Raiders just aren't playing out of way that you can think they're going to come into Kansas City on Monday night and beat the Chiefs. Sunday Night Football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a different beast. They're a little discombobulated, but they got Brady on the other side. I'm not going to completely write them off. The Colts just don't have a lot going for them right now. And there used to be a sense of nervousness around the Chiefs that I don't feel right now. I just don't feel that. Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, this team is not impervious. They lost twice to the Bengals last year. You worry less about these games, but they'll still lay turds in games they're supposed to win. Are the Colts the Bengals? I'm not saying the Chiefs are undefeated, but we found out the Bengals were really good. The Bengals went to the Super Bowl. The Bengals won their division and won double-digit games last year. That's not what the Colts are. So sure, the Chiefs do not win every football game that they play. You are going to be hard-pressed to find a game that the Chiefs have lost to a team that is playing how the Colts are currently playing. Not a Week 16 game against Cincinnati because you don't think that they're good and they're actually good, or the AFC Championship game. I'm talking about an opponent like Indianapolis that is as banged up, that is missing their best defensive player. They have not lost this game yet with Patrick Mahomes. So I think you can come into this game with a certain level of arrogance. I keep hearing that people think Buffalo is overrated. Buffalo wouldn't lose to this Indianapolis team. I think Kansas City is as good as Buffalo. You know what Buffalo would do? They would go in and pound this Colts team because this Colts team is bad. They're not explosive offensively at all, is what they are.
Two.
Well, Carrington, speaking of the Colts, we've seen a lot of line movement for you bettors on this game. It opens the Chiefs as a 7-point favorite, but it's been bet all the way down to 5, 5.5 in some places. Carrington, the Colts are 0-1-1 with a loss to the Jags, a shutout loss to the Jags. Yes, those Jags. Can you explain to me why the line is moving? Because it seems like FanDuel right now is flashing free money, Chiefs -5.5.
The only thing I can think of, the only thing, is that the Colts are going to be a very desperate team. Now, I think the Colts are better equipped to score this week than last week, having Michael Pittman back. And Michael Pittman is a very talented wide receiver. But I just don't think that the Colts have enough explosiveness to beat Kansas City. Do you think Kansas City is going to score in this game? I assume your answer is yes. How many points do the Colts need to score in your mind to be able to beat Kansas City? And the answer is 27 or 30. Their offense just isn't equipped to be able to do that. I'm with you. This screams like free money to me. This screams like a Chiefs 31-20 kind of game. This screams like a 34-17 kind of game to me, in which Kansas City is able to do what they want to do offensively and really take away the things that Indianapolis wants to do. The only reason I won't completely bury Indianapolis, and I've got them like 95% buried, is because they're a home team in desperation. I don't care how bad your division is. It is tough to win your division if you start 0-2-1. It's really difficult to rebound and turn around and win your division. And I think the Colts understand the importance of this game. The Chiefs can't afford to lose this game. They can afford to lose it. They're going to win at least 10 games over the course of the season. I don't know that about the Indianapolis Colts. I think there's going to be more of a sense of desperation, and teams play better at home than they do on the road. I just don't think it's going to be enough.
Three.
Well, Carrington, speaking of Matt Ryan and those Indianapolis Colts, he is the perfect encapsulation of what many franchise fans would yell, ew, not good enough, but most franchises would kill for. A guy who played one team for a very long time. He was a first-round draft pick. Carrington, is Matt Ryan the perfect example of good enough but not great, the top of the heap in Tier 2?
I think so. I think that Matt Ryan, if you're an organization that drafts a quarterback, I think you draft or want to draft Matt Ryan. Sure, he was never Tom Brady, was never Peyton Manning. I never considered him to be an Aaron Rodgers elite quarterback in the league. But Matt Ryan was durable, healthy, stayed out of trouble, and the Falcons were fairly consistent while he was there. They were always in the mix to win their division. They always had a chance to make the playoffs. They made the playoffs 8 times while he was there. They went to the NFC Championship game a couple of times. They went to the Super Bowl, and he won MVP. That's why I'm so surprised that the Colts have taken the stance that they have when it comes to the quarterback position. They understand the importance of drafting their quarterback. What they've tried to do is put Band-Aids on a situation that was created by Andrew Luck leaving. At some point, you got to be willing to take that jump. You got to be willing to do what Kansas City did. Kansas City at one point was willing to take the leap, take the plunge. All right, we got to spend a serious resource and identify who our quarterback is and give him the resources to be successful, and let's go get it. The Colts are trying to make it work with Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers and Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan, and they're just having very little success doing it. At some point, the Colts got to do what the Chiefs did, and they got to take a big swing and a big chance, and they have been very reluctant to do so. It is very Carl Peterson-esque of what they've done so far.
Four.
Well, Carrington, I know we'll give our predictions here in about 40 minutes. I don't want to spoil it, but neither you nor me is giving the Colts much of a chance. But for Chiefs fans of a certain age, the Colts are definitely a boogeyman.
Brown up the middle, hit. And now the ball's out, picked up by Luck. He dives for the end zone, touchdown Colts. Amazing. Unthinkable. The Chiefs hit Donald Brown short of the end zone, and Andrew Luck lives to the name on his jersey by recovering the fumble by his teammate and lunging into the end zone.
Carrington, I could play clips on clips on clips of heartbreak the Colts have caused the Kansas City Chiefs. Is there any team in all of sports that has caused Kansas City more grief than this week's opponent, the Indianapolis Colts?
I don't think so, man. I mean, there's a loss against the Colts for every Chiefs generation. Outside of the Mahomes one, I mean, the 90s Chiefs had their loss to the Colts. The 2000s Chiefs had their loss to the Colts. The 2010 Chiefs had their loss to the Colts. I'm with you, Rob. I don't know if there's a team that's shown Kansas City more heartbreak than Indianapolis. I mean, the only other team in the NFL, if we're not counting a team in their division, because Denver would be high up on the list, even though Denver hasn't caused the Chiefs heartbreak in 8 years, the team would be Pittsburgh, probably. Would that be the team that you would think that they've had a couple of losses here and there in the playoffs? And I mean, there was a time that Indianapolis had more playoff wins at Arrowhead than the Chiefs did. That was a real stat until Patrick Mahomes showed up. I don't think there's any team that has been that thorn in the playoff side or has caused you more heartbreak. Or if you've broken your TV, oh, you broke it because they played the Indianapolis Colts. Or you thought a Chiefs team was going to make that run to the Super Bowl. You thought they were the best team in the league, and lo and behold, they lost to the Indianapolis Colts. I'm with you. I think they're the team. I think that's it. I do want to play this for you guys really quickly. Earlier today, we had Kevin Bowen on the show. He covers the Colts for 104.5 in Indianapolis. Listen to what he said about the Colts' weapons.
No proven, you could argue, talented pass catchers besides Pittman. It's a bunch of guys you'd want 4 and 5 on your depth chart, frankly. Alec Pierce is a rookie. He will be out there. He did not play last week either. He had a huge drop in week one. Paris Campbell's battled injuries through his career. The most impact he made last week was an offensive pass interference penalty in the fourth quarter. They've got some bigger wideouts that are kind of younger guys in Mike Strawn and Desmond Patman that have, you know, had a flash or two in their NFL career, but have also, you know, battled drops and just they just look like day three draft picks at times. And then at times, I think they've really felt the loss of Jack Doyle. I think Doyle is just a super reliable guy. He retired in the offseason. And Mo Alie-Cox and Kylan Granson. Been a moment or two from Granson. But, again, it's just been a very unproven group. And then when you've, you know, asked or hoped they could handle bigger roles, they've been exposed in those roles.
There's just a certain level of explosiveness and scoring punch that you need to be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I just don't think that Indianapolis possesses it. I just don't think that they have enough firepower in a game like this where the Chiefs offense is playing at the level of which they're playing. But I think they're going to be able to beat them. I mean, think about the teams last year that beat the Chiefs. Even when the Chiefs were going through their swoon, Baltimore, a lot of punch offensively, really explosive, dynamic quarterback. They lost to the Chargers last year. Turned the ball over a lot. Chargers certainly can score. Buffalo, don't even have to talk about them. Tennessee, to me, was just one of those days. But last year, I would say Tennessee was more explosive than I think this Colts team is. Derrick Henry was still healthy. A.J. Brown was healthy. They just had a more explosive offense. And then the two losses to Cincinnati. This team just doesn't have those kind of weapons. And I don't want to read too much into the one individual loss last week, especially with no Michael Pittman, who's their best receiver on the outside. But you just heard somebody who covers the team. Outside of Michael Pittman, they don't have a single viable pass-catching option that you think you should be worried about. They don't have a single guy outside of Michael Pittman that you feel like you got to keep tabs on. They don't have anybody to me that the Chiefs can't cover. And that includes Michael Pittman. They don't have a single guy outside that I think you got to be really worried about. When was the last time that a running back like Jonathan Taylor really ran all over the Chiefs? It's been a while. Their run defense has done a really good job against guys like that. That's not saying that Jonathan Taylor is going to hold him to 57 yards, but even if Jonathan Taylor runs for 90 yards in this game, I don't think that means they're going to win the game. I think Jonathan Taylor would have to have a really, really big day, or the Chiefs would have to be really bad against Michael Pittman. Basically, what happened in the first half with Mike Williams would have to happen in the second half as well. Like, I think that's the kind of effort that I think Indianapolis would have to have in order to be able to win this game or score enough points to do it. They scored 20 points against the Houston Texans in week one. They didn't score last week. Every team in the league has scored more points than them so far this season. You just need to be much more dynamic offensively in order to be able to beat this team. And they just don't have enough weapons in my mind to be able to do it. Here's Kevin Bowen talking more about the weapons that the Colts have.
I'm a big golf guy, so I frequently make golf analogies. I don't think he's walking up the 18th hole. I mean, he's certainly on the back nine. He's probably on 15 or 16. I just don't think they've supported him at all. Colts fans are very quick to point out, look at Carson Wentz's numbers through the first couple of weeks. Look at Matt Ryan's numbers. Look at who Carson Wentz throws the ball to with the Commanders. And look at who Matt Ryan throws the ball to here in Indianapolis. Again, it is a very lackluster, not talented, not proven wideout tight end group. And with what Wentz had last year, T.Y. Hilton is no longer here. Zach Pascal is no longer here. Jack Doyle is no longer here. All three of those guys played important roles for this team last season. So, you know, there are definitely throws where Ryan looks like a guy that's 37, but it's not like, to me at least, he looks just broken.
If you're going to try to do it the way the Colts are doing it, you're going to just need more dogs on the outside. Stafford's able to do it still at his age and his physical condition because they've given him the best receiver in the league. They've given him a incredible offensive-minded coach. They went out and they got Allen Robinson last year when they had the opportunity. They went out and got Odell Beckham. They had Robert Woods. When Brady looked bad, and remember, Brady looked bad his last year in New England. They went out and they gave him weapons. Or he signed with the team that had weapons. He signed with the team that had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk, Antonio Brown. He signed with the team. The Colts' leading receiver last week was Ashton Doolin. Their second leading receiver was Nyheim Hines. Desmond Patton was their third leading receiver. Mike Strachan, who I looked it up, he went to Charleston. Not West Virginia. He went to the University of Charleston. He was a seventh-round pick last year, and he's one of their leading receivers. Someone on the text line said the Colts have a bunch of Pringles and Robinsons for weapon. Yeah, 100%. They've got a bunch of Pringles and Robinson, and Michael Pittman isn't nearly as explosive as Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. Maybe this is me just being too confident about the Chiefs, and on Monday I'll come in here and I'll eat my words. But I told you guys about Arizona. I said that team was disorganized and had no chance of being able to compete with Kansas City, and I was right in the first 5 minutes. There's a very simple question you got to ask yourself if you're playing the Chiefs. Can you consistently score 21 points? And if you can't at least hit that bare minimum, it's just not really realistic to think that you're beating the Chiefs 20-17. So there was one game in recent memory that the Colts upset the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll tell you why this game is completely different. That's next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Nate Taylor in studio every Friday starting at 4 o'clock. And if you miss any of the conversation, listen on demand with the Odyssey app and 610sports.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You're listening to CDOT.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
I want to play one more cut from you guys. This is from Kevin Bowen, who joined us earlier today. He covers the team. If you remember, the Colts beat the Chiefs back in 2019 in the game that was on Sunday Night Football. The Colts won that game 19-13. Kevin Bowen believes that the Colts need to replicate that formula.
Follow the same blueprint they had in 2019 and pulling off the upset in Arrowhead on that Sunday Night Football. They had 45 carries in that game for 180 yards. You've got to feed Jonathan Taylor like no other. You got to just pound it with him. And then on the reverse, and that's possible. I mean, the Colts, you know, Taylor led the league in rushing by over 500 yards last year. The flip side, though, is what they did to Mahomes in that 2019 win. They hit him early. He was hobbled early in that game. I think it was 8 hits and 4 sacks. But the Colts D-line has 0 sacks and 8 regulation corners through the first 2 weeks of the season. That obviously is not good. So the recipe of a four-man rush getting home, I'm not holding my breath on that.
That was Kevin Bowen joining us on the show earlier today. I don't think that that game is applicable in this conversation. Number one, I want to read to you the guys that were playing for the Chiefs. So this is a game that the Chiefs didn't have Tyreek Hill, but also didn't have the ability to prepare for it in the way that they've had this offseason to prepare for not having Tyreek Hill. So their offensive line that week, it was Cam Irving at left tackle. Mitchell Schwartz, our guy, was at right. The interior of the Chiefs offensive line was Andrew Wiley, LaRon DuVernay-Tardif, and Austin Ryder. their offensive line is infinitely better than the one that they had. If you remember, that was also a time in which Patrick Mahomes was dealing with an ankle injury. So Mahomes didn't have his typical elusiveness, and their offensive line was really banged up. Mahomes got hit a bunch in that game. Got hit a lot. He got sacked 4 times in the game. They also couldn't run the ball at all. They ran the ball 14 times for 36 yards. The only running back to register a carry was Damian Williams. Their running game is better than they were heading into that game. Say what you want about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Cool. Let's say you think that he and Damian Williams cancel each other out. The other three people to get carries were Patrick Mahomes, Anthony Sherman, and Mecole Hardman. Pacheco's going to touch the ball at some point in this game. Jerick McKinnon's going to touch the ball at some point in this game. So their running game is better. Their offensive line is better. And they had 3 wide receivers register a catch. Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman, and DeMarcus Robinson. This game was so long ago, LeSean McCoy had 2 catches for 23 yards. I just don't think that game means anything for this one. The Chiefs have a better run game. Offensive line is better. They've got more weapons. Mahomes is fully healthy in this game. So maybe the Chiefs get upset, but they get upset because they turn the football over. Not really because Indianapolis is able to kind of beat them on the game of attrition. They also were able to pound the ball in a way that teams just haven't been able to do to Kansas City. They dominated time of possession in this matchup. Dominated. They had the ball for 38 minutes. Almost 39 minutes. If you're going to have the ball at almost a 2-to-1 pace, teams just haven't been able to do that to Kansas City while they've been healthy. So I get why someone from the Colts side would try to drum up a any given Sunday, hey, we can win this one. Look, we've done it before, Rob. But I just don't think that the style of which that game was played is anywhere close to the kind of game that I think we're going to see on Sunday between these two teams.
You nailed it right on the head at the end there. I understand why someone who's a Colts fan or follows the Colts would believe that's the path. And on paper, and even a little bit in reality, that is probably the best path. You got to depress scoring. You got to control the ball. You got to win time of possession 60-40. You got to do all those things when you're comically outgunned. The difference is they're comically outgunned, and it's not just at, you know, skill position player. It's all across the board. That defensive line that night for the Chiefs wasn't very good. Quentin Nelson and the big bad Colts offensive line bullied them around. It's not the same Colts offensive line. They're starting to leak a little bit. They don't really have a left tackle. Quentin Nelson's a couple of years older. I think the Chiefs defense line's better than it was that night. Jonathan Taylor's great and all those things. I think the Chiefs linebacking core is better in this game than it was in that game, which helps shut down a run game and or a screen game, which is an ipso facto run. On paper, the idea is great. In practice, I don't know it's actually possible because the weaponry does not exist to have that happen. 2019 is kind of a dream scenario for the Colts, but it's a dream because not being reality.
There was a stat that was floating around this week. The Chiefs are 45-1 in games in which they hold their opponent to less than 27 points. Do you think that the Colts are going to score less than 27 points? The only time that they've lost was this game, the one that we're talking about. Super banged up running back, super banged up offensive line, depleted defense. It was the perfect storm, the perfect scenario. Do you think that the Colts are capable of winning this kind of game? And I just can't imagine a scenario in which they lose that way. Could they lose because they turned the football over the way that they did last year to the Ravens, the way that they did last year to the Chargers? Sure. But I would say in this game, Rob, the Colts outplayed the Chiefs. They outplayed them. I don't see a scenario in which we come on here on Monday and say that the Colts outplayed Kansas City. A team like that just simply hasn't outplayed them since they've been there. I was thinking about this in relation to the Colts, and this is a historic thing, not a present day 2022 kind of thing. I think people have somewhat kind of come back down to earth on what this Chiefs team could ultimately be. I mean, there was a time people were saying that they could be the next version of the Patriots. I don't think they're going to be that. They're really good. I just don't think they're going to be the Patriots. I think if we're going historically, the team that they're probably most in line to be is the Peyton Manning version of the Colts. Peyton Manning, while in Indianapolis, won 8 division titles, 11 playoff appearances. They went to 2 Super Bowls. They won another one. Over a 12-year stretch, they had double-digit wins in 11 of those 12 years. Now, your response could be, well, there's no Brady to block them, so I think they'll be more successful, and I think that's a very fair and good point. But I'm looking at the AFC right now, and I don't know if any team's going to be able to sort of run away from the pack and win 3 or 4 of these things the way that the Patriots did. I think that about Buffalo. I think it about Kansas City. I think it about Cincinnati, Baltimore, Cleveland, whatever team you want to throw in the mix. I think the AFC, at least from a quarterback perspective, is really deep and really young. Mahomes is in place. Watson in place. We'll see what happens with Lamar. Josh Allen in place. There's just too many really good young quarterbacks right now in the AFC for me to think that any one quarterback or one organization runs away with it the way that the Patriots did. I think you'd like, obviously, more postseason success than those Manning Colts teams did, but the Colts were incredibly relevant for a 15-year stretch, always played big games, always mattered, always won double digits, always in line to win their division, always had a chance to win the Super Bowl. I think if we're looking right now historically, I think they're in that Manning's Broncos mold. I think they're in that Manning's Colts mode, which is a historic run. The Chiefs had an all-time 3-year, 4-year run, and now they're trying to see how many years they can continue to stack on top of it. And so far this season, they're doing a pretty good job. Coming up, we'll get to our Sunday slate. We'll give you the game, storyline, matchup, and I'll give you my upset that I most like this weekend. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison. If you missed Patrick Mahomes on Monday at 2:15, you can listen on demand on the brand new Odyssey app or at 610sports.com. The Drive gives you the game, the matchup, the storylines, and the upset of the week.
You trust me? I do.
Plus, the official Chiefs prediction. It's time for the Sunday slate.
All right, we go through game, matchup, storyline, and I give you an upset pick that I absolutely love this week. I think the game of the week is pretty straightforward. It's Bills and Dolphins. We all know how good Buffalo is. I have no clue how good Miami is. Outside of really the fourth quarter against the Ravens, they haven't really been super impressive. They didn't play incredibly well against the New England Patriots. The Patriots just aren't a very good offense. And they didn't play well for the first 45 minutes and just had a historic fourth quarter against the Baltimore Ravens. This is a really good test. A team in your division, you got them at home if you're Miami. If Miami wins that to go to 3-0, I think some people are going to have a conversation about maybe that team can win the division. But it all starts with your ability to win at home. I think the game of the weekend is Buffalo at Miami. That's going to be my game of the week pick.
By the way, the Sunday Slate is brought to you by T-Mobile. Whether you're at home or away from your team, T-Mobile keeps you connected to the Chiefs Kingdom all season long with the best 5G coverage in the game. My game of the week, Ravens and Patriots. Two teams that have had off starts this season. Iffy starts. Patriots, they beat the Steelers, but they did it with no offense. Can Bill Belichick and his brilliant mind continue to shut people down and win games? Or are they trending toward a top 10 pick? We'll see, because if they beat the Ravens on Sunday, the conversation changes dramatically. That's my game of the week.
I'm going to go with my storyline for the week is, can the Broncos offense get it going? They play on Sunday Night Football, so over 20 million people are going to have an opportunity to watch this Broncos offense on the marquee game of the week, Sunday Night Football. They're playing San Francisco, so there's going to be eyes on Jimmy Garoppolo, but there's eyes going to be on Russell Wilson. They're a home dog in this game. Think about that. They're a home dog on Sunday Night Football. Can Russell Wilson and this offense really get going? That's going to be my storyline for the weekend.
My storyline on the weekend's pretty big. Justin Herbert did not practice and his list is questionable for Sunday against the Jags. I know we get our jokes off about the Jags because they just beat the Colts, but this is not your mom's Jags. These are not the Urban Meyer, make fun of the kicker, get fired Jags. Doug Peterson has that team looking competent. They could easily be 2-0. Without Justin Herbert, that changes the game dramatically. No offense to Chase Daniel. My storyline of the week is Justin Herbert's health and how it affects the AFC West.
I'm going to go with my matchup of the weekend. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson against Belichick's defense here. Is Belichick crafty enough to be able to figure out a way to slow down Baltimore's offense? it wasn't their offense that let them down in their last game. It was the defense. I'm not going to look at Mac Jones in the offense because why? Is Belichick going to be good enough here? I mean, this is another game where the spread is under 3 points. It's 2.5 here. Vegas thinks this game is going to be close. Vegas thinks this game is going to come down to the wire. Is Belichick going to be able to devise a scheme to force Lamar to throw the football? That's what I'm going to give my my matchup of the week.
My matchup of the week, very similar vein. I'm going to say the Jets defensive line against the Bengals offensive line. I know you're thinking the Jets defensive line has no one. You're right. Has Jermaine Johnson, Carl Lawson, basically no one. But the Bengals offensive line picked up where they left off, which was terrible. If the Jets are able to get pressure on Joe Burrow, the hapless Jets get pressure on Joe Burrow, we might be having a very different conversation about that Bengals team because that offensive line is the same, and the same is bad.
I'm going to give my upset pick for this one, Rob. I like the Jets plus 6. They're playing the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati at no point this season has shown that they're a touchdown better than any other team in the league. 6 points? Maybe they win, but can you expect Cincinnati to play well on Sunday? I don't think you can expect them to play well. I'm going to take the Jets plus 6 and continue to ride that wave. I think the Chiefs win this game. I think they win it comfortably. The Colts just aren't playing offensively at a level in which I think it's realistic to think that they can upset the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll take Kansas City to win this game 31-20.
Michael Pittman being back is a big deal. They have a weapon. The Chiefs should all circle him all week long. I think the Colts look better this week. Backed into a corner, Michael Pittman, the whole deal. But I agree with you. The Chiefs just have too much firepower. This game ends, I'll say, 24-34 Chiefs. They cover the number, but it's a little closer than experts think because the Colts offense looks better because Michael Pittman's back.
We'll be back on Monday. Patrick Mahomes will be on the show. Mitch Holsis will be on the show. I'll be on the show. Fun will be had on a Red Monday. Take care of yourself. I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.